Turning now to your letters, and we start with some corrections. Earlier this week, we picked up on the Balloon Boy hoax, and we aired a commentary examining some of history's greatest hoaxes, including the famous broadcast of War of the Worlds.
We said that aired in 1934, but as several of you correctly pointed out, it actually aired Halloween Eve 1938. Now on to some feedback to our stories this week. We aired a report yesterday about an Arizona Indian reservation that is booming despite the downturn. The community is building a spring training baseball stadium for both the Colorado Rockies and the Arizona Diamondbacks. We said it would be the first pro sports facility built on tribal land.
Well, Robert Joyner of Salt Lake City caught us there. He writes, "I believe that this is incorrect." And Mr. Joyner is correct. The Mohegan Sun Arena is located on the Mohegan Reservation, and it has been home to the Connecticut Sun of the WNBA since 2003.
Yesterday, we heard about how our healthcare system came to involve employers paying for insurance. We said it happened due to a series of accidents of history.
Not really, is what Harris Meyer of Yakima, Washington writes. He goes on, "It's the result of a series of political choices and non-choices. The United States had a chance for a national health insurance system several times in the first half of the 20th century, first when Teddy Roosevelt proposed it in 1912, then when FDR considered it in the 1930s, then when Harry Truman proposed it during his presidency. If any of these proposals had been adopted, we would not have our current employer-based system, so calling our system an accident of history misses the mark."
Finally, we got mostly positive response to my conversation yesterday with Jeff Kinney. He's the author of the popular Diary of a Wimpy Kid books. One negative email we did see came from Ellen Bittner of Minnetonka, Minnesota. She writes, "My 13-year-old loves these books. I forced him to come listen to a beloved author, and it was too short. She continues, shame on you. I love NPR and wish to have my kids love it, too. Try this again, please."
And it seems some listeners were confused by one word they heard a couple of times in that interview. Let's take a listen.
What do you say to the parents who are ambivalent about this, who say that the books are just too snarky?
I think that there's stuff out there that's a whole lot more snarky. I think that.
Yes, snarky is the word. And Melissa, actually, it was a word that cropped up a couple times in yesterday's broadcast.
Yep.
And one of our listeners wanted to know, what does it mean? That was Kate Crawford of Downers Grove, Illinois. She writes, "I attended middle school as well as elementary, high school, and college, but I am mystified by Michelle's use of the word snarky in this interview." So, Melissa, I hope you have a snarky, you have a less snarky answer for her.
Well, I use snarky, too, as it happened in the show yesterday. Here's what Merriam-Webster has to say about this. Sarcastic, impertinent, or irreverent in tone or manner.
Impertinent. Well, you never hear that from us, right?
Never.
If you have a question, we want to hear from you. Snarky comments or whatever, send them our way if you must. You can reach us at npr.org. Just click on Contact Us. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.